The Bench. The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Good Friday morning, everybody. John and Lance, along with Dell, back together this morning. Dell, how was yesterday? What happened?
Oh, my dad had a surgery he needs to get taken care of, so I had to take him and pick him up.
And you were listening to the show. Despite you saying you never care enough to listen to the show, you listened to the whole show and were making comments throughout.
Well, not the negative whole show, because I didn't get up till like 9 o'clock. That was great. So I heard the last couple of hours of the show as I was in the waiting room.
So you lied when you said you don't listen to the show when you're not here.
Well, that's not true, because I usually don't listen to the show. But then I decided, you know what? Because usually I'd just be asleep, so why would I listen? But I actually had to be up, so I listened and said, man, these guys suck.
Lots of angry negative stuff were said in the text.
Yeah. Nothing but anger and negativity.
Well, you know, when you're amongst the trees, you don't realize, you know, how crappy the forest is. So now, like here, I don't realize how bad you guys are. I do, but not to the level when I can actually do other things. And I'm home and I'm listening. I'm like, or in my car and listening. I'm like, man, what type of crap do I have to deal with every day?
Dell would never win Father of the Year awards ever if he had kids.
Well, I'd be truly disappointed in you two. I'd follow my dad's lead.
All he would be is disappointed dad.
I follow my dad's lead and ship you off to a foreign country.
So, well, here the problem is that is the negative. I would have thought that your dad is here now, and since he didn't deport you like we thought he was going to.
He can't deport me. I was born here.
Well, he could probably send. I'm pretty sure he could probably send you off to Nigeria.
He can't. I've had this talk with you. He can't do it even when I was a kid because my mother's an American citizen. He wouldn't be allowed to do that.
He probably wanted to and probably had plotted to do it. But
Dell, are you an American citizen?
Yes, I was born in Volusia County Hospital.
John, it's official then. He cannot be deported.
Well,
or Halifax Hospital, Volusia County.
During a pandemic, he doesn't have dual citizenship. You can't deport him no matter how hard you try.
He can be deported. You guys don't understand. His dad's from Nigeria. He said, okay.
That's not how it works.
I'm taking him to a Home Depot, and he's out of this country. That's it.
And by the way, my brother wasn't deported. My dad didn't go through official means. He just put him on a plane and got him out of here. He didn't go through official means. He just said, beat it.
And then built a wall, probably.
Well, my dad would be the one who could actually get it done as opposed to, you know.
Whoa. Our great president who dominated another debate last night?
Sure.
Another debate. Yeah, okay.
Sure. He did.
Oh, he was better. He was better yesterday. He wasn't. I was like, somebody coached him up. Like, he listened to somebody. Somebody had to have said, hey, I want to show you your numbers before the last debate and then after.
Well, that's all he cares about is the numbers.
Somebody must have said, your ratings are terrible. They're falling apart. And they must have said something like, okay, if this is boxing, this is the 12th round and you need a knockout or you're behind or something. Because he stayed in his lane for the most part, which was I kept waiting for him to get baited and get mad about stuff. But he actually didn't do anything like the first one. So we actually heard policy stuff. It was weird. It was like a real debate yesterday.
It was crazy.
By the way, who's the moderator?
Dude, you know what I watched last night?
What?
The trial of the Chicago 7 on Netflix.
Yeah, I watched it. I saw you in there.
Did you see that?
Yeah, I saw it the other day.
You watched it? Is it good?
Yeah, it's pretty good. It's pretty good.
I mean, Borat talk about.
As Abby Hoffman, Sasha Baron Cohen.
Yeah. Abby. I was really young. And when it all went down, and I didn't know, but I just heard Abby Hoffman, and I didn't know who or what. I didn't know anything about it, but man, oh man, what a story. What a great judge.
Yeah, they did a good job of, oh yeah, he was a great judge. He was a great judge. They did a good job of hiding for those of us who don't really know the whole story, they did a really good job of hiding until the end how things went down and how the riot started. So they did a good job of kind of building to that point until late in the show.
I thought, Jeremy Strong from Succession was awesome. Sasha Baron Cohen was awesome. I thought the judge was awesome.
I couldn't get out of my head. Yeah, the judge is he's what's his name? He was in He-Man years ago. He was
Frank Langella.
Yeah, Frank Langella. I just know him better as the Russian handler of Felicity and right Reese. Reese Myers?
The Americans.
No. Right. Yeah, yeah.
Right.
He's really good in that. By the way, if you've never seen The Americans, 100% worth watching.
Oh yeah, The Americans
for a show to binge.
Excellent television.
And like
excellent.
With most shows, they give you a little skin early in the seasons to get you hooked.
Yeah.
You know, they hook you with the sex, and then after that they just go straight. But you get a couple Kerry Russell scenes.
Pretty much like, with Kerry Russell's butt. That's about it.
Yeah. Well, there was one scene with her and her husband where the kids walk in.
Yeah, yeah. That was a weird way to do what they were doing, though. But yeah.
just what else happened yesterday?
The Eagles can't cover, which is nice.
They never cover, but I went to I thought the game was over at 22-16, so I just shut it down. I didn't even know they won until this morning. I'm sorry, 21-16. I didn't even know they won until this morning.
Well, Boston Scott made a beautiful play over the shoulder. I mean, just a perfect throw by Wentz.
Yeah, Boston Scott is a good pass catcher. He's a nice little dual threat, you know, kind of he's kind of the new version of Darren Sproles, I think. And
yep.
That's what every team needs to have. I'm a firm believer that the more things diversify, the more that there's different types you need in the NFL now. And one of them is, you know, Duke Johnson. I'd like to see Duke be more productive this year. I know he was out for a while, but I really think Duke Johnson has to be more involved in this offense, whether it's pass catching, running. They need to get more out of Duke because David Johnson is just you know, Sammy Slowpoke. So they got to get Duke going. But Boston Scott, that pass catcher out of the backfield, the quick wiggly guy who's got some ability to hit some explosive plays from the backfield, the slasher. If I had a team, I for sure would have a guy like that.
Well, when asked yesterday about David Johnson, Tim Kelly, who's now he's the go-to guy on offense. I mean, you certainly can't ask Rack about what's going on offensively, right? You just it's interesting, too. Anthony Weaver was asked about, you know, what's different with Rack now. He said, well, he's not in our meetings anymore. So it's all on – this is all Anthony Weaver. And he asked, well, you know, what the hell's wrong with your defense? It sucks. Well, I don't know. We're just trying. We know it's not exactly, but I still got hope. Okay. Well, we'll see what happens. But when asked yesterday about David Johnson going inside the tackles, he said, well, you know, you look at the goal line runs, there's an extra guy down there. There's a number of different reasons why we're doing that. I know people are talking about the lack of production, but he's doing what we're asking him to do. A couple different times where you look back at the Minnesota game where it was 3rd and 1, an unblocked player, he was there short yardage, and he ran through the tackle for 5 yards. He's doing a good job of running hard and doing what we're asking him to do. David's doing what we're asking him to do by pumping it in there, being physical, and doing a good job when we're asking him to run the ball. That's a different assessment than I think the rest of us would give. I don't know. I sometimes you ask your running back to, I don't know, gain 4 yards a carry?
He can't.
4.3 yards a carry? That would be nice.
A critical trait for running backs. When I'm watching guys on tape, and everybody, I mean, John, you've done this for years. Everybody who's watched football for years, you don't have to be some kind of draft evaluator. Something you must have is you have to have a relevant amount of burst. You have to have a functional level of burst, or what happens is when you hit a hole, defensive linemen get their hands on you. Even if they're blocked, they get their hands on you, they slow you down, and linebackers come and finish a job. And unless you are an unbelievably physical runner like an Eddie George who lost his burst, but Eddie was just a hammerhead and just fell forward, but he was a grinder, and those guys' careers kind of peter out. They turn into 3.8 yards of carry backs. That's just not how you win football games, running for 3.8 yards. The football is not played like that anymore. And so a guy like David Johnson, who doesn't have the burst, if you've got a lot of burst, just like a Boston Scott, like you watched yesterday, you know, if you can get through the line quickly and they can't get a hand on you, then you're up onto the second level and you turn a 3-yard gain into a 5-yard gain. You can, and that just over the course of a game, it, you can turn a run that has a tight a tight hole to get through. All of a sudden, you know, David Johnson is tackled, but somebody else is able to, maybe Duke Johnson can get through it and turns it into an explosive carry of 16 yards. I mean, that's why Bill O'Brien and Jack Easterby, I don't know what they were thinking by bringing in. You're bringing in a guy who on tape for 2 years has looked slow. Why would you do that? Forget the money. Why would you limit your offense like that? Because now you got to play this dude. Now you got to play him. And you have hurt your offense by trading for – you could have made that same trade and just not taken David Johnson, and you'd have been better shape. I would argue that trade made you worse. That's nothing against David Johnson, a person. He just doesn't – because he – my dad said he's a great dude. He just doesn't have the juice anymore. And frankly, he hasn't had it for a few years now.
Yeah. I'm looking at – you can imagine who's leading the league in yards after contact.
Let's see, yards after contact. You have to Dalvin Cook was hurt. Oh, it's got to be Derrick Henry.
Derrick Henry.
Yeah.
Clyde Edwards-Helaire is second.
Yeah, makes sense. Because he met to lead in that category, you got to either break tackles or kind of shake tackles. Once they hit you, you know, they don't hit you square. And one guy can wiggle and break tackles. The other guy's just, you know, a bona fide monster.
Oh, I saw something else. It's percentage. Clyde Edwards-Helaire percentage, I guess it is. Guy who's here. You know, this is interesting. Ronald Jones. He's bulked up some. He's second in total yards after contact. Yeah. Then it's Todd Gurley, Dalvin Cook, Joe Mixon, Zeke, and then Clyde Edwards-Helaire. But it's interesting on percentage wise of yards after contact. And then it's yards after contact. But Derrick Henry by far. Yeah, I'm gonna tell you this: they've got something there. It'll be interesting to see this week. They got another tough game this week. Tennessee has got something going on there that is really interesting to see, is whether or not this is. You saw the stats. Tannehill is playing as well as, and it's not a joke. He is playing as well as Patrick Mahomes.
Dude, Ryan Tannehill headed into last week's game. Ryan Tannehill over his last 14 games and Patrick Mahomes over his last 14. Tannehill had 31 touchdowns and 6 interceptions. Mahomes had 28 and 6. And only like 70 fewer yards passing for Tannehill. Like, it's real. That's a real stat. That really has happened. And I know Tannehill, because everyone gave up on Ryan Tannehill, they don't pay any attention to that. That's a real 31 touchdowns through 14 games is over 2 passing touchdowns a game. That's
in touchdowns in the first 5 games. The only one in franchise history. I mean, the most since Warren Moon.
Think about this, John. Also, you know, Ryan Tannehill, we talk about this a lot for Pat Mahomes, Kelsey, Travis Kelsey, Tyreek Hill. All these, you know, there's like DeMarcus Robinson. You've got a load of wide receivers.
Sammy Watkins.
Mecole Hardman, Sammy Watkins. Now Clyde Edwards-Helaire. He had Kareem, well, not Kareem Hunt back within the 14 games. But then you got A.J. Brown, and A.J.'s a good receiver.
Yeah.
But Corey Davis and Jonnu Smith. Like, Jonnu Smith's not in the same category as Kelsey. Derrick Henry, who you think of as just a banger for the most part. Ryan Tannehill's doing it without star power, although I would argue A.J. Brown within a year or so may have some star power.
A.J. Brown is a star. He's a star in the making, anyway.
Yeah, for sure.
No, he's a really good – really.
But Tannehill's not doing it with all these all-pros.
No. But he has a running game that others don't, though. And you know what that – I mean, when you go play action, when you got that guy – and you got to worry about Derrick. You got to stop Derrick Henry. I mean, it means so much to that quarterback. Which is why Deshaun should just have loved. You know, we picked up David Johnson. Awesome. Look at what it's done to our passing game now.
Yeah, because no one has to really – no one fears a running game.
That's right. I mean, just ridiculous. All right, 713-780-3776. You know what? We could use a little whiskey there, Lance.
How about Blackland Distillery then? They are a distillery right here in the state of Texas. They've got – they were named a top bar in the Fort Worth area by Culture Map. And they have tastings that are fantastic if you ever are headed up that way. But I can tell you this. What makes Blackland Distillery different, they are a relatively new distillery, and yet their spirits taste like old souls because Marcus Kiprius, the owner, he has done an amazing job of taking his knowledge of food, and he's got a degree, a culinary degree. He's a lawyer, culinary degree. He's a somm. Like, this guy's he's a high achiever. And he got into the distillery saying, I want to master this next. And because he has the background in the ingredients, he was able to blend different ingredients and make what is, frankly, an amazing blend that other people just haven't made. It's creamy. It's smooth. Got a very slight tobacco-y finish on the back half of that creamy bourbon that he has. It's fantastic for sipping. It's even better, I think, for a nice, smooth cocktail. And the rye has a little more texture to it, but it's not too in your face. The vodka, people drink it straight, just on ice, because it's got a nice sweet finish, and that's how smooth it is. And then, of course, a more floral gin that I think is fantastic for cocktails as well. Check them out for yourself, blacklanddistillery.com, and go into your local liquor store or restaurant. And if they're not carrying it, demand that they carry grain-to-glass distillery right here in Texas, Blackland Distillery.
ESPN 97.5.
Hey guys, Lance Zierlein here, and wait until you hear what my friends over at Bespoke Post are up to. Bespoke Post has brand new seasonal box of awesome collection for guys that are guaranteed to upgrade your life. They send guys the very best stuff every month, whether it's gear to upgrade your autumn craft beers or cozy threads, or maybe you just want some clothing for when the temperature dips. No matter what you're into, Box of Awesome has you covered, from style and grooming goods to barware, cooking tools, and even outdoor gear. To get started, go to boxofawesome.com and take the quiz. Your answers will help them pick the right box of awesome just for you. And they release new boxes every month across a ton of different categories. It's free to sign up, and you can skip a month or cancel anytime. Each box costs just $45, but has over $70 worth of gear inside. Get 20% off your first monthly box when you sign up at boxofawesome.com and enter the code BENCH at checkout. That's boxofawesome.com, code BENCH, for 20% off your first box.
All right, time to talk about mybookie.ag, promo code radio. It is a great, great site, and that's the... It's so easy to navigate. It's so easy. I mean, if you've never been on a website before, a bookie website before, some of them can be a little bit difficult. This one is so simple. They made it so great, and it is unbelievable. When you see, you just click on NFL odds week 7. Let's take a look, and bing, bing, bing. Here we go, and let's check out what our Houston Texans are at this point in our lives. The Houston Texans are 4-point underdogs at home with the Green Bay Packers. So you can just press on that +4. I like the Texans. It'll pop up, and you bet, and you win, and you get paid. And that's that simple. All you got to do is go to mybookie.ag, promo code radio, log in, and you can start playing. Now, when your initial deposit, no matter what it is, they will match that, double, and so you have twice as much money to play with. You will love that about it. No other bookie's doing that. So if you're looking for a great place to play to win and get paid, mybookie.ag, promo code radio.
ESPN 97.5 is your home for Texas A&M Athletics. Catch all the football and basketball action right here as the Aggies make their way through the SEC. Only on ESPN 97.5, Giga Mags. This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
It's kind of a little bit of everything. We obviously have plays that are designed to get to both of those guys. And then if someone's feeling a hot hand or someone's, getting into a rhythm, we want to allow them the opportunity to do so. So it's kind of a little bit of everything you just said. It's the flow of the game. It's the matchup. It's a certain play that you want to get to a certain guy. So I would say all the above with that.
There's Tim Kelly yesterday talking about who's going to play running back. How he decides who's getting the ball.
Buddy Howell.
Well, he's been injured, so I can see why that hasn't been the case.
Well, who's
so.
The third running back then? Whoever it is, they get carries.
Yeah, I don't. Well, it's probably. I mean, Buddy Howell, I think, is back, and is that's
yeah,
a real possibility. But Buddy Howell's not the. I mean, Buddy Howell's a guy.
You never know.
Yeah, I guess. Yeah. I mean, no, you're right. You come
running backs, you never know with running backs. They come out of nowhere.
Right, right. But when you paid that much money, you're going to embarrass yourself. And you think Jack Easterby is going to let Romeo and Tim Kelly embarrass him? I don't know. I don't know. They all know the deal.
Let's also know this deal. Do you honestly think Romeo Crennel, who's sitting there with probably his last job, is going to be like, you know, I need to let this Jack Easterby guy tell me what to do? I think that's going to work out pretty good. If I'm Romeo Crennel, I'm like, what are you going to do? You going to fire me? We ain't playing this guy. Stop telling me who to play. That's what I'd be saying. I'd be like, what? Go ahead, take my job. I got mine. You'll pay me for the rest of the year, Jack. Jack Easterby can't tell them what to do with a running back. There's no way.
Yeah, well, says juice. You're not in that building, and your job isn't. Your life isn't on the line. Okay.
Romeo Crennel's life isn't on the line.
You don't know. You don't know what he's going. You don't know behind the scenes what Lord Varys is threatening.
His coaching life isn't even on the line. Papa Romeo can shut it down at any time and get back on the pit and just start making some of the best wet ribs that you've ever had in your life. Papa Romeo is not going to wait around for Jack Easterby to tell him what to do. No one tells Papa Romeo what to do anymore. Nobody.
I don't know. It just seems to me wet ribs. It just seems to me they take too long. Looking at Romeo, I think he'd get kind of frustrated with waiting.
No, Romeo's not afraid to go. He's not going to go fast and hot. He's going to go slow and low, I think.
I don't know.
I think
dude is just like, I want to eat. Let's
do
eat.
Do you think Papa Romeo makes his own sauce? I would say yes is minus 500.
Papa Romeo making us? I just think.
His own barbecue sauce. I'm going to say yes. He's got
how
his
many
own
times,
recipe.
Okay. While he's making it, how many times does he dip his finger in it?
Ooh. Five and a half is the over under.
By the time everybody else gets it, Papa, it smells like Papa Romeo.
No, I'm going to say at least. I'm going to put the over under at 5.5. You got to. See if you're getting it right.
Oh yeah.
I don't think he goes by. And here's the other thing about Papa Romeo. I don't think when he's making his barbecue sauce, he doesn't look at a menu card or he doesn't look at a recipe card. He's going off a feel.
Oh no. But here's the thing. When it's all said and done, it smells like Old Spice. Okay.
I mean, you may have a little bit of that on the back end, like on the finish. You may be like,
hey,
you know, it just has a little scent. Like it doesn't. Like it just, it's
I'm
going to
put a little
Paw
of this behind my ears, this barbecue sauce behind my ears, so I smell like Papa Romeo.
Because he's not going, I mean, he's going to stay. He's not going to go anything that's too crazy. He's got something he's going to splash on, the same thing he's had for 30 years, 40 years. Papa Romeo's not going to a new cologne.
No.
Aftershave or whatever.
No, I'm using this. He's got the same razor he used. He's got a... Papa Romeo probably got a straight razor.
Hey, Papa Romeo, you want this Harry's? No, I don't need your
newfangled
fancy razor. Well, it's not really super fancy.
It's not fancy, Papa. It's just different. No.
I do
What's
things
the matter
my
with
way.
A straight razor?
I do things my way. Papa Romeo, I need to take you to Texas Star Grill Shop. I don't need one of those grills that do it perfect every time. Papa Romeo's going to fire up this pit and work over the wood coals for about the next 7 hours to make sure I get them just right. I'm like, okay, Papa Romeo.
Well, Papa,
I'll be
coals,
done by the time you are done.
Wood coals weren't even invented when Papa Romeo started.
Oh, he was Kingsford.
He's Kingsford. Are
yeah,
you kidding
he was
me?
That's true.
He's got
Kingsford.
A Weber.
He's Kingsford.
The round one, the black round one. That's Papa Romeo.
By the way, or an Old Smoky.
God,
he'd have something better than he's got something better than an Old Smoky. By the way, did you ever watch the Chef's Table Barbecue? Did you ever get done watching that?
I would have to start it.
Oh, you should definitely watch it. You should definitely check it out. Rodney Scott's in it. The older woman from Texas, who's like the oldest female pit master, who from a Snow's Barbecue. She's great. They do barbecue with they have four different people, and it's not all barbecue like you would expect. Some of it, you know, barbecue is a cooking with the fire. They've got some lady in Mexico that does it the Mayan way. It's a good show. I think you'd like it.
I don't know who Rodney Scott is.
I don't either.
Is he a reliever?
No, that's Fernando Rodney.
Oh.
John, do you think – what's Lance's bigger fetish? Draft stuff, barbecue shows, or feet?
It goes barbecue shows, feet, and then draft.
Yeah. I'm right there
right.
with you.
Yeah.
No, it's not.
Yeah.
Well, y'all can
– depending on – we're just judging by what you talk about.
Right,
when you go
right,
on
right.
non sequiturs. So I think he's right.
You're right. It's draft stuff three.
Mm. You don't talk about feet on this show that much.
That's because that's my business.
That's you don't want to get all in his married business, Del.
No, I don't. I really, really don't.
No.
And you know, I don't like when you venture in that area either. It's like, ugh, stop it.
I like pretty feet.
Like John will say things.
Why do I sound like a character when I'm doing that? Was I talking with regular voice, or was that supposed to be Drayton McLean voice?
I don't know what.
No, that was your voice.
I like pretty feet.
Why was I so hyped up?
Because you like pretty feet.
Because you're hyped up about feet.
You love talking about feet.
No, I'm just specific. Like, I don't like that long second toe that goes way out. Like, that's too Nordic and crazy looking to me.
Nordic.
Yeah.
What?
That's what he said. I don't know what he means.
Yeah.
What is a Nordic foot?
You know, with that long ass second toe.
No, I don't, because we're not connoisseurs like you are.
Well,
like,
I'm just telling you. That's just like, nope.
I like pretty feet.
Your toes shouldn't look like your hands, where that second finger is way out there.
All I know is, listen, here's one thing I know, is that when you're going to get barbecue, don't listen to Lance. Go to Damaris, okay?
Go. Is this a Damaris commercial?
This is a Damaris commercial, right. Okay? Go to Damaris and get your barbecue on. Honestly, we were sitting there the other day. We were watching the games. We were watching the World Series Game 7. We were watching the ALCS Game 7. And my brother-in-law said, give me some of the wet brisket and just some white bread and some of the barbecue sauce, pickles, put some on there. Man, you want to talk about unbelievable, good, good, good. People, if you're looking for some barbecue, you're looking for some, and listen, the sausage is excellent. I love their, when you go there and you go and you sit at the bar, their wings, their Greek wings are excellent. They've also got grilled wings that they do too. They've got Greek wings they do. If you're looking for a great way to enjoy the games, they've got a cheese dip with the chopped barbecue in it. Delicious. Unbelievable. You put that on nacho, got the chips there. Unbelievable. Listen, you go to either location on Shepherd, just north of West Alabama, or on 18th Street and 610, and get your feet on and enjoy a wonderful meal. Now, anything that you've got. I've been to the nicest Christmas parties, that unbelievable with the carving stations and everything else, and beautiful. The catering department is excellent. We're starting to have more caterings now. If you're looking for a great caterer, it's Demeris.com. DEMERIS.com.
This is ESPN 97.5. You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5. 713-780-3776. 713-780-3776. A couple of things here, Rockets related. We're going to get Tillman on once they hire a coach. A couple of things. It was announced I guess it was Raphael Stone who announced it, but then you also got to know that they've announced this the last couple of years, and it hasn't happened, that they are going to use their mid-level exception. Now, they did spend a portion of their mid-level exception last offseason to give a three-year contract to Daniel House. He only signed, they did not have any financial tool other than that. They didn't have bird rights on him. So they had to use their mid-level exception because he wouldn't have signed for the minimum. So they did, while they said they were going to use their mid-level exception, they really didn't on a player, but they did in helping sign Daniel House. So, but they also had the year before where they didn't use their mid-level exception when they said they were going to. It's $5.7 million. That's the non-tax. You can spend up to $9.2 million, but it implements a hard salary cap that cannot be exceeded under any circumstance. That initiates a hard cap for you. And the Rockets, I don't believe, can do that anyway, because they would probably they're going to hit the luxury tax, right? I mean, that's more than likely going to happen, or they'll be right there. They were able to get out of it with the Capella deal, right? So, but they're looking for another Capella type, allegedly. They're looking for maybe a Nerlens Noel that would be, you know, a guy who can catch lobs, who can switch defensively. That's allegedly, they want a big man, not to start, but a big man that you can that could actually, you know, change things up a little bit. I don't know why they wouldn't want a guy that could start. I don't know. I don't get it. I mean, now that Daryl is gone and D'Antoni is gone, do you have to continue to do what they did? Because it's working, but it's not working. Would you describe it as, yeah, it's working, but it's just not working?
That's a good question. I think it's working. It's just at it's at its top. Like it's got a glass ceiling, and this is where you are now. So now you're going to have to reshuffle, and I think you need to get back to something more standard. Look, there's not many coaches or GMs who would do what Daryl and Mike D'Antoni did. So whoever your coach is going to be, he's not going to want to do that. He's not going to want to go small ball. I don't care who it is. How many basketball people like small ball? Very few liked it. I mean, at least the ones who are, you know, commentators, they all bashed it. Bashed small ball. And it had its success at times, but it just isn't. I think you become so reliant. You're already so reliant on the three-point shot right now. You have made yourself even more reliant, although your lobs and dunk catching, really, I'm sure Daryl Morey would have told you that was replaced by Russell Westbrook going to the hole and finishing there. Like, it doesn't matter. It's just not dunks maybe, but Russell's a pretty good finisher when he attacks the rim. So all they care about is where your shots are coming from. Are they coming from the paint or are they coming from three? That's where they want them. Free throws, threes, and shots in the paint.
Yeah. Well, we know that. I mean, that makes sense. I mean, that leaving that behind, I get that. So, I you know what? That makes some sense. But not playing anybody over 6'8", 6'9", why?
Matchups. They wanted to force you to go small, the Golden State Warriors did.
Well, and if it's because of Russ, and Russ can't play with somebody because he clogs the lane. Russ went to an NBA Finals with big men, with Kendrick Perkins. So, so maybe he can't play with a big guy. Maybe it would be defensively it might help. Oh, well, they were the best. They were the best defensive team in the bubble because of who they played. When they got against a team that could a good – when they weren't against Oklahoma City, then guess what? The defense showed up, and they got their ass handed to them. So I don't want – well, they were good. No. They were good because Oklahoma City sucked offensively. That's why, because they couldn't shoot because they had Dort.
Yeah, but what do you say about – yeah, no, that's no doubt. But what do you say about Golden State going small – with their lineup when they had two guards who could score. Now, granted, those two guards could really shoot too. And they had, you know, their PJ Tucker obviously was Draymond and they went small, and they forced teams to go small.
They went small, but they were had the ability to go big too.
Yeah,
I mean,
they could, but their lineup of death was a small lineup.
Yeah, but they still had Kevon Looney, right? I mean, they still had guys that could rebound and play defense.
Yeah, the Texans obviously last year had the Texans. No, I mean the Rockets had what's his name? Who didn't? We doubted that he even wore a jersey. Had to go shoot a free throw.
Chandler,
the big center. Yeah, Chandler. Yeah,
Tyson Chandler.
Tyson Chandler was. They had one too. They had Tyson Chandler.
Oh, did they?
They had Isaiah Hartenstein for part of the year. Yeah. They had all the they were basically built just like the Warriors.
I mean,
Robert Covington playing the role of, Robert Covington plays, his role. And, didn't Golden State have kind of like a, did they have a Daniel House type? I think the roadmap to a championship is very similar between Rockets and Golden State Warriors.
Yeah, very. I mean, almost identical. And don't forget. Yeah, well, during their best years, they had Zaza, they had Georges Niang, they had Kevin Durant. How long do you need to be? I mean, they had length and they could play defense. This is not just it's like, oh, he's a 6-foot quarterback. Well, Drew Brees, okay. Well, not everybody's Drew Brees. So I mean now I guess 6-foot quarterbacks. That's actually you don't even have to be 5'10" anymore to be a quarterback. But for years, it was like, well, he's a 6-foot quarterback. Well, you got Drew Brees. Okay, but there's one Drew Brees. And, oh, by the way, there's one Golden State Warriors. You aren't anything like the Golden State Warriors. I wish everybody would stop that. They're not anything like the Golden State Warriors, and including having nuts to win in big situations and playing well at the highest level. I wish everybody would stop that because the Golden State Warriors go small. Can we stop that narrative?
Listen, I don't think you have to worry about that. They just have to find a way to redo their roster now that they're going to probably get away from super small ball.
And that's almost going to be impossible when you got $120 million for your starting five.
Are you watching ESPN right now? Are you watching ESPN?
I am not.
Okay. They're talking to Eduardo Perez, who does the announcing, does the baseball commentary on ESPN. It says on his tombstone, which is the headline stuff that he's done. Did you know that he was a bench coach for the Astros?
Eduardo Perez?
Yeah, in 2013. It's like baseball absolutely did not exist. He would have been with, I guess, Bo Porter.
Yeah. 2013?
Bench coach, 2013 years. with Bo Porter. Never knew that. Never would have known that.
The glory years? Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. No, that was baseball didn't exist here. Why? Can somebody tell me why Trevor Bauer was here?
I saw that yesterday. So Trevor Bauer took a picture. Somebody said he has an apartment here somewhere in Houston. That I don't know if that's true or not, or a house or an apartment. I don't know why he would, but they said he took a picture with Minute Maid Park in the background, and he just said, and it said home. And he tweeted it out, and then people started going crazy about that. And come to this place. You know what? I'm an Astros fan, but I've always liked Trevor Bauer.
I'll take him.
Oh, yeah. I would take him in a heartbeat.
Yeah.
I would take Trevor Bauer in a heartbeat.
He's douchey, but he'll be our douche.
Yeah, with the douchey stuff, I can live with that.
Yes, yes.
I can live with that. As long as you get people out. If you don't, I can't stand douchebags who can't get people out.
No. You think he and Breggers would be best buddies, BFFs.
Yeah, that's why they hate each other. They have hated each other in the past because they're kind of similar.
There's so much alike.
There's some similarities.
Yeah, yeah. And you know what? I'll take Trevor Bauer right now. Let's go. With the rest of the guys in this rotation?
I don't know what that was supposed to mean, though, that he put home, like, I don't know what that was supposed to mean.
It says home at Astros.
I know.
I think it's their home of Astros.
Yeah, but, well, that's the reason we're, like, talking. He tagged the Astros. Home, Astros. Maybe that's what it means. He's at the Astros home.
Yeah.
Maybe has he pitched really well there where he's trying to troll, like, look, this is my home. because I've been so good at Minute Maid Park against the Astros. I don't know if that was what he was doing either.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know what he was trying to do. He loves to, I don't know, maybe he's getting, that may just getting under Bregman's skin. Maybe Bregman's calling Jim Click now, saying, don't get that douchebag, I hate him. Well, or say he's saying, get him.
If we remember when Correa hit his home run to end the game, he credited Correa, talk about the heel, talking about him being baseball's biggest heel and loving it. On his previous tweet about flying to Houston, he shows the ticket, Southwest Airlines, Trevor Bauer, I'm going to Houston, and it says, embrace the heel life, which is in reference to what he said about Correa. So I don't know if this is just an elaborate troll. Maybe he just has business in Houston.
It's an elaborate troll. That's all it is.
Pretty sure Bauer
hey, Astros.
But pretty sure Bauer lives in the Woodlands, says W-E-W-O-S-U-S.
Oh.
Wewo sucks.
I thought W.B. Du Bois was tweeting. I was like, there's no way he can tweet the show.
Who?
Why? Because he's dead, Lance?
Yes, he's been dead for a long time.
Yeah, no, W.E. Du Bois is not Du Bois tweeting the show.
No, W-E-W-O sucks.
Oh, okay, yeah.
I don't know who.
No. Really, it's. I do think it's possible. John, you know how many guys live in Houston in the offseason? In all sports. Shaq has been coming into – Shaq's been making his way into Union Kitchen. He was at Jack's Grill, then he was at Union Kitchen the other day. Like, Union Kitchen, Nick Scherfield handles their press. And it said, like, they wrote a press release about Shaq going into Union Kitchen. And, you know, the owner of Union Kitchen, Paul, has played football. He was an offensive lineman at Purdue. Or, no, defensive lineman. But anyway way back in the day. But anyway, it listed all of Shaq's meal, like what Shaq had for dinner. Shaquille ended up ordering a chicken fried steak with mashed potatoes and green beans. He ended up washing that down with, like, I was like, man, I've never seen a press release where the entire meal was, well, they had a rundown of the entire meal.
Well, it's Shaq. I mean, I bet it was
Shaq's
a lot.
Here. Did Shaq's he have here his, all the time.
Did he Shaq? Have his dessert first? Because he likes to do that.
I don't think so. They would have said that in the rundown.
That's what you – he likes to get his chocolate cake first.
Well, Shaq's got a – I mean, Shaq lives here. I know Shaq's got a home here.
Yeah. Well, and apparently Trevor Bauer does too. And
who else does? Who are some other
Jackie
athletes?
Says he has said he wants to sign a 1-year contract for the rest of his career. I'd be fine with that. That's fine.
Oh, Yeah, I'd be fine with it too.
That's fine. You want to come pitch here for a year? I don't care.
This is a troll job. He's gotten into it with Astros fans for so long. This is a troll job. He's trying to get Astros fans to say, I want Trevor Bauer, and then he's going to go total heel. That's why he said embrace it. He's telling you what he's about to do to you. He wants to get Astros fans like excited and changing their mind about him, and then he's going to go total heel. Telling you that's what he's going to do.
Oh. All right, 744 ESPN 97.5 7378037. Let's get some calls in here today. You people are lazy. So let's get you going. Stop being lazy jerks and give us a call. But right now, let's talk about the Loken Group, Lance Loken, and what the Loken Group is doing right now. For I'm telling you, if you're selling your house, there's one phone call that you have to make, and that's to the Loken Group, L-O-K-E-N, thelokengroup.com, because these people are unbelievable. It's story after story after story after story of people, 7 showings, 2 offers, $2,000 over the asking price. And, you know, and you say, well, that $2,000 over asking price, listen, your initial asking price for your home is going to be high. Because why would you go lowball it? Okay, so your initial asking price is going to be high. If you get $2,000 more than what you're asking initially for, it's unbelievable how good that is. And this is happening all the time, story after story after story. Now, you don't even want to go through all the rigmarole. That's okay, because Lance Loken Group will say, I'll give you an immediate cash offer for your home. The Loken Group at Keller Williams Platinum is just the best. It is the best in the state. It is the best in the country. It's one of the best in the world. This group will get the job done, more so than any other group. The average agent, it takes 49 days to sell the home, 32 days for the Loken Group. You don't want your home out there. The longer it's out there, the less you have to take. And when you lower your price on your home, that is a terrible thing. Go with the Loken Group and let them sell your home, because they have access to more buyers than anybody else. 281-861-4624, 281-861-4624,
or thelokengroup.com. Years of research and innovation.
Innovation Map is the new voice of innovation in Houston.
Pretty cool, huh, Morty?
Covering startups, tech, energy, health, social impact, and more. Visit innovationmap.com today.
Do it now! Do it! Do it! Do it now!
Uh-huh. Bounce with it, huh? Let it bump, though.
You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
There's a picture. Robert Paulson sent us a picture of Trevor Bauer's McLaren being damaged by a semi's loose tire. It smashed through a window of a McLaren dealership where Trevor Bauer's car was here in Houston. So the thought is that he lives here. I've said this before, he is the Bryson DeChambeau of baseball. He uses his own techniques. He is an avid analytics guy, but as far with his training and it's different than, and this is why I think the HBO, the real sports thing on him. What a different kind of dude he is. He and his dad have all of these different gizmos and mechanical stuff, and they've gone deep into it. And every coach has hated me. Every coach I've had, because I don't do things their way. We do it our way. And look at where it's got him. He was one of the best pitchers in baseball this year. I mean, so and that's Bryson DeChambeau. I ain't doing it your way. I'm gonna put on 30 pounds. I'm going to swing out of my shoes. I'm going to use the same length on all of my all my clubs will be the same length. I'm doing it different than you are, and I don't give a rat's ass what you think. And oh, by the way, here's my U.S. Open. How's this? It's pretty damn good, isn't it? So
how did we work Bryson DeChambeau in there with Trevor Bauer?
Because they're the same guy, only different sports. And, oh, by the way, I ain't afraid to troll you. I ain't afraid to say whatever I think. I'm not well liked by the other players. I've got different techniques than everybody else does. But I'm going to be at the top of my sport because I'm going to do it my way. That's Bryson DeChambeau, and that's Trevor Bauer.
Okay.
But if you mention a golfer, then you and Dell shrivel up, okay?
Well, I think I just thought we were talking about Bauer, but
shrivel up is aggressive. I don't shrivel up.
Yeah, apparently you shrivel up because
it's not a cold day in Wisconsin.
Because it definitely irks you.
It doesn't irk me.
Yeah.
I just tune out, so I don't get irked.
You're overwhelmed.
I'm not overwhelmed.
You're overwhelmed by golf talk because you're of your ignorance.
I'm not overwhelmed. Overwhelmed would mean I'm trying to hear it and listen, and then I can't take it anymore. I'm not overwhelmed. I immediately go think about something else because I'm bored. That's not overwhelmed.
Yeah. No, you're overwhelmed.
No, I'm not. Yeah. In fact, as soon as you said
your
Bryson
inferiority complex kicks in for both of you.
As soon as you mentioned Bryson DeChambeau, I just start scrolling YouTube. That's what happened.
No, see, and because of your ignorance.
No.
Because of both of your ignorance.
You combine two sports that I care little about, particularly when the Astros aren't involved in baseball. So I'm like, let's look at some music on YouTube. What came out today? So maybe I should play it. Yeah, that's what happened.
Let's get some callers in here. Who's first, John? All right, let's get John in here. Hey, John.
Yeah, pretty good. I want to talk some boxing. I don't know. The Astro game was on during this fight, so I'm not sure how many people watched. But that Vasily Lomachenko and Lopez fight, I'm not saying Lopez or Lomachenko won, but some of the scoring on that fight was just asinine.
Yeah.
I had it even. I had a couple friends that had it even. Andre Ward, former champ, had it even. I could see him, Lopez, maybe winning 7-5, but Harold Lederman's daughter had it 11-1.
No. That was nowhere near close, but you got to remember now, for people who don't know this, Lomachenko, who has been a fantastic boxer, Lomachenko was, he was like a 4.5-1 favorite. And it's funny, I thought it was more like 7-5, Lopez. I was still surprised Lopez won. But my dad calls me up out of nowhere. He goes, Lancey, you going to watch this fight? I said, yeah, you know, I plan on watching. I may not watch it live because of the Astros. And he said, well, I've been watching some of these old fights on this Lopez kid. He's going to win. I've seen Lomachenko, and he's going to win. And I almost thought to myself, I need to get down on Lopez plus 300 because he is like, he doesn't get hit. He throws punches at angles like Ali used to throw them, and yada, yada, yada. He goes, he's going to beat Lomachenko. Sure enough, he ended up being right. Lomachenko got beat as a 4.5-1 favorite by Lopez. I think they'll come back and have a rematch, but all the belts were on the line.
Right. If they have a rematch, I'm pretty sure Lomachenko will win, because if you go back and look at the per round stats, he didn't really start punching until the sixth round, and he hit an extremely high rate. Once he started punching, he was pegging Lopez at will. And, you know, he come off a 14-month layoff. It's going to take a few rounds. He just took too many rounds to get going. I think once they fight again, he's not going to start. He's going to start hitting it earlier round. And look at his punch rate the last seven rounds. It was like almost 50%. It's crazy.
Yeah, I watched a few rounds of the fight, and I didn't think anybody was. How could you have it 11-1? I mean,
you see a score like that, and you wonder, like, are they going to get reprimanded or do they get penalized? I mean, that's just asinine. 11-1 is just crazy.
Yeah, yeah. What else did you want to talk about? That's it. Thanks, John. We appreciate it.
Oh, speaking of fights, by the way, if you're a UFC fan, you're really excited about this weekend. There's going to be a battle this weekend that you have to watch if you are really a big
But what's the deal? Is Khabib not showing up?
Well, they have a back. So Khabib has had a couple times where he's had to bail once because someone in his camp had. I think one was an injury. One somebody in his camp had coronavirus. I think it's Khabib versus Justin Gaethje. Gaethje is a tough, physical dude, and Khabib is tough and physical. This has a chance to be a phenomenal. To be a phenomenal fight.
How about I have ESPN Plus and I still have to pay for it?
ESPN just gives you the right to buy the pay-per-view.
ESPN Plus, I know I have ESPN Plus, and so I should get it for free because I pay.
No, that's where the pay-per-views are going now. ESPN Plus is the platform. That's why they want you to get
ESPN I already
Plus.
Pay for that, and then I got to pay for it on top of it?
Oh, yep. That's right, John. Keep those checks rolling.
F that.
What's that, Joe?
Whoa.
But they've already got a replacement for Khabib. Somebody said that they would step in if Khabib can't go this time. And I'm not paying for it if Khabib's not in it.
I don't like this tone, John.
Yeah.
Watch yourself, John.
Guess what, Mickey?
Watch it, John.
Yeah.
You know the deal?
I'm not giving that money right back to you after it's hard.
It's a vicious circle, isn't it, John?
Not
Mickey,
giving it right.
Mickey yep. gives you money, you cash those checks, and you give it right back to Mickey.
Let's get Brandon in here. He wants to talk about barbecue sauce. What do you say, Brandon?
Hey, how you guys doing?
Good.
Good. All right, for Lance and John, but this is about my bookie odds. So I know earlier you mentioned -500 that Papa Romeo makes his own barbecue sauce.
Yeah.
My question is, though, what are the odds on KC-style barbecue sauce or Texas barbecue sauce? I hang up and listen.
KC-style. I've already thought about that.
Yeah. Yeah, I think it's probably KC-style, too.
I think it's KC-style.
Don't forget he was Carolina in KC.
I'm going to say something that's going to No, I think that's why he said that. Yeah. I'm going to say something that's going to make some people mad, especially Lamont, but I'm okay with Carolina-style barbecue sauce. I'm fine with it.
Carolina?
The mustard style
with
vinegar. Yeah, no, I'm okay with that. I try different types. I mean, I think there's different types of barbecue sauce.
Well, I'm going to tell you the one I think is the best barbecue sauce is Louisiana, Jack Miller.
What's that? Let me guess.
It's a spicy
sauce, yeah.
Spicy sauce with onions and a bunch of onions and It's different than any barbecue sauce you ever had, and I think it's the best. I'll put it on everything, and I'll fight you for it, okay?
You have to because Wendy's still there.
No, I think it's excellent. Barbecue sauce is barbecue sauce. Kansas City barbecue sauce, Carolina barbecue sauce.
Well,
Texas
no, they're
barbecue.
Actually very different.
No, they're it's barbecue sauce, okay?
Carolina couldn't be more different than Texas.
Well, I've gotten the mustard-based barbecue sauce. It ain't that good.
The vinegar stuff. I think
I'm a big mustard fan too. I'm much more mustard than ketchup over it. And I put mustard on everything.
What do you do on your potato salad? Are you mustard or
no? We don't put mustard in potato salad. Mayonnaise. That's it.
Ooh, that must be a Chicago thing.
No, it's not.
Are you mayonnaise on the hamburger guy too? Then
no. Mayonnaise is potato salad. What are you talking about? What do you know about potato salad?
I've had both, but in Texas we don't do that. We're more mustard based. Just the same way Whataburger is mustard based. We're not really into the mayonnaise stuff.
No, yellow potato salad is stupid. Okay.
What?
Yeah. No. Potato salad should be white.
Can you get your man on this?
Stop saying he's my man. I don't even like him.
No. That's
stop
that's...
saying that. You say that a lot and you know I don't like him. Stop saying that. He's your man.
Well, it's one of the reasons I do say it is I like to invoke a response. But, yeah, no, nobody on this. You'll have about four people listening to the show who'd be like, yeah, John's right. Mayonnaise potato salad is the best.
No, mayonnaise potato salad is the only way.
Everyone else is going to be
salt and pepper, mayonnaise and eggs, and that's it. That's all you put in it. This mustard thing has got to go. It's stupid.
I would eat that. See, I would eat that potato salad, but mustard potato salad.
I'll make it for you, and you're going to go, oh, my God.
I'll eat it.
I'll make you Jack Miller barbecue ribs, okay? And then you'll know about life now, okay? Now you'll know about life.
You're getting some kind of Cajun barbecue sauce on me?
Yeah.
I'll just throw some paprika in something, and it's good. And there we go. Now we're Jack Miller.
No. You don't know nothing about it. See, it's the ignorance coming out again, and it makes you scared, and then you shoot back.
By the way, I looked at there's an article today about potential trade, you know, players who could be traded at the deadline, as though there's a billion trades at the NFL deadline. Now, they've moved it back over the years, so there is a chance, but you usually don't see these vast amount of trades. And there's some guys in there that you would expect to see. Gerard Davis, the linebacker from the Lions. Alex Mack, you're not going to have a veteran center traded somewhere. That's not going to happen. A center who's at the back half of their career. But an A.J. Green, you know, that would potentially make some sense. I mean, you have a list of Jerron Harmon from the Lions, safety. You could see a move like that. But I just don't think they had anyone from the Texans in there. I didn't see anyone from the Texans listed. I think when the trade deadline goes down, there's just going to be nothing to talk about with the Houston Texans. Nothing. There won't be anything.
Well, Deshaun's already shut it down.
But there was one. Yeah, well, Deshaun did shut it down.
Deshaun shut down any trade talk, so that's it.
Did you see what did go down yesterday?
I saw that it's 8 o'clock, and I saw that we'll talk about what went down on the other side. Okay, that's what I saw. I also saw that it is time for me to talk about Chastain Ford. That's what I saw. I saw that Chastain Ford has got unbelievable. The STX right now for $29,999, that's just stupid. Or $499 a month. $499 a month for a brand new STX, people, that is with nothing down. That is stupid low, okay? So here's the deal, is what can you afford? And in these times with the, you know, I can't afford this car payment anymore. I was able to afford it before the pandemic. Okay, well, go trade your car in. Go sell it. Go sell it to give me the VIN. They don't care. Sell it to give me the VIN.com or sell it to Chastain Ford and then get you into a vehicle that you can actually afford. And this, my friends, is what people are doing every single day. And you're going to look. And this is the car. And they say, well, there's not enough new cars. Don't worry about that. Chastain Ford has new cars. They ain't worried about it. They got 20,000 off the Expeditions. They're getting rid of these cars. It's unbelievable the deals that they're making. They have been the number one commercial dealer. Now they want to be the number one retail dealer as well, because they are doing it with price and they're doing it with service and they're doing it. They don't care that you come into the dealership, and they're the only dealer that feels that way. Every other one's got to have you in so they can upsell you with all the other upgrades that they've got to have. But Chastain Ford says, no, you can buy at home at ChastainFord.com or go to the dealership and see for yourself. 610 at Homestead, not Hempstead, just two exits from 59, 5 minutes from downtown. It's Chastain Ford.